So we continue. One of the sisters was appointed to look after the sick, but she was so negligent that one had to practice real mortification. So she's the one who made people sacrifice. One day, I made up my mind to tell the superior about it. But then I heard a voice in my soul. Bear it patiently. Someone else will tell her. It's so true. Many times I'm wondering someone, but keep the time. There must be some other one do this job. But the service was like that for a whole month. When I was finally able to come down to the refectory and to recreation, I had these words in my soul. Now, other sisters are going to tell about that sister's negligent service. But you are to keep silent and not to speak about the matter. That means even though the others speak about it, don't put the words there. Many times, I'm not taking initiative, but she said that. Anything would like to gambling table at. And at that point, they broke out sharp criticism of the sister. But she could find nothing in her own defense. And all the sisters said in chorus, "Sister, you had better improve in your care of the sick." I found that sometimes the Lord does not want us to say something on our own. He has His ways and knows when to speak out. Patient. Many times we are not patient enough. When someone put out a question, then just adding some power. Today I heard the words. In the old covenant, I sent prophets wielding thunderbolts to my people. Today, I'm sending you with my mercy to the people. The people of the whole world. I don't want to punish aging mankind, but a desire to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart. I use punishment when they themselves force me to do so. My hand is reluctant to take hold of the sword of justice. Before the day of justice, I am sending the day of mercy. I replied, "O my Jesus, speak to souls yourself, because my words are insignificant." So even for sinners say, "I'm saying this word, nobody listen. I'm so small." Better you speak, but you speak out to the world. That's a kind of poem. The soul's expectations of the coming of the Lord. I do not know, O Lord, at what hour you will come. And so I keep constant watch and listen as your chosen bride, knowing that you like to come unexpected. Yet a pure heart will sense you from afar, O Lord. Just always be ready, then you feel His coming. If you're not ready, you don't know what, even passing to your door, your door won't be open. I wait for you, O Lord, in calm and silence, with great longing in my heart, and with invincible desire. I feel that my love for you is changing into fire, and that it will rise up to heaven like a flame at life's end, and then all my wishes will be fulfilled. These kind of simple souls, like St. Teresa of Lisieux, they are the smallest same age, even the same one century before, but they are the simplicity, so human, but so genuine. Come then, alas, my most sweet Lord, and take my thirsting heart there to your home in the lofty regions of heaven, where your eternal life perdures. Life on this earth is but an agony. As my heart feels, it is created for the heights, for it is the lowlands of this life had no interest, for my homeland is in heaven. This I firmly believe. She believed. She cannot feel, cannot see it, heaven. The same as Sister Teresa of Lisieux. She knows many things, but I can't see anything. I'm completely in darkness. Many times we think the saints, they have all the inspiration as if they live just next door to heaven. But not at all. They're in complete darkness. But just trust. Just believe. This end of book 5. Now come to book 6. It's a poem also. Praise, O my soul, the incomprehensible mercy of God will all be for His glory. Krakow, February 10, 1938. Sixth book. My heart is strong there where my God is hidden, where He dwells with us day and night, clothed in the white horse. He governs the whole world. He communes with souls. So difficult to believe. Jesus lived in the stay in the horse, and He is the creator. It's can't imagine. My heart is strong there where my God is hidden, is hiding, where His love is immolated. But my heart senses that the living water is here. It is my living God, though a veil hides Him. So we can see God like a veil hiding Jesus, God, like the, as if a piece of bread, but that's God. We can't see, but God is present. February 10th, 1938. During meditation, the Lord gave me knowledge of the joy of heaven and of saints on our arrival there. They love God as the sole object of their love, but they also have a tender and heartfelt love for us. So the saints in heaven, they love God, but they love their neighbors. You feel that you're so close to them, as if they were your brother and sister of them. It's one blood, it's the same circulation. Can't believe it. Many times you'll be in heaven, you meet someone you hate, and she's there or he is there, and he's loving you the way that you can't imagine. That he didn't do that on earth. It is from the face of God that this joy flows out upon all, because we see Him face to face. His face is so sweet that the soul falls anew into ecstasy. So there's no more on earth with all the thoughts, human thoughts, natural things, but all transformed into divine divinity. It's different, so different. The Lord Himself moves me to write prayers in hymns about his mercy. And these hymns of praise force themselves upon my lips. I've noticed that ready formulated words of praise of God's mercy enter my mind, and so I have resolved to write them down insofar as is within my power. I can feel God urging me to do that. So all these words already, it's kind of very, it's already printed in his soul. So you have to write down, jotting down fast, otherwise you sure forgot, first of all, forget. One of the sisters came into my cell for a little while. After a short conversation on the subject of obedience, she said to me, "Oh, now I understand how the saints acted. Thank you, sister. A great light has entered my soul. I've profited much." Oh my Jesus, this is your work. It is you who have spoken thus to that soul. Because this sister came in when I was completely immersed in God. And it was just at that moment when this deep recollection left me. Oh my Jesus, I know that in order to be useful to souls, one has to strive for the closest possible union with you, who are eternal love. So, in order to give wisdom to people, first of all, you have to be close to the wisdom. So, in the house of the Blessed Sacrament, no? So adoration is so beautiful. At least 1 hour per day, is it, your congregation?
Adoration.
Adoration. 1 hour. Yeah.
Yeah, but the whole day we have to pray 3 hours.
3 hours? Personally? Oh, you go to Mass and late prayer and evening morning prayer all together.
Yeah.
But adoration, 1 hour.
1 hour and a half.
1.5 hour. You see, all congregation, the modern ones, I don't know the old ones, do they do the same? The other congregation, do they have this kind of practice? Adoration, the Blessed Sacrament? Yeah, this is yours. But what about the other congregation? Do they have the same?
Other congregations are teaching congregations. Yeah. They don't pray that long.
Not that long.
Mm-hmm. But ours is really apostolic.
So you're half and half, out and in, 50% inside, 50% outside, right then?
Yeah.
More or less, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, together. You, when you're active, you're contemplative. When you're contemplative, you're active. That's beautiful. One word from a soul united to God effects more good in souls than eloquent discussions and sermons from an imperfect soul. So you need to have strict unity with the Lord. That's the best solution for ourselves and for others. I saw Father Andres surprised at my actions. But all that is for the glory of God. Oh, how great is your grace, O Lord. Grace which lifts the soul up to greater heights. I am very grateful to the Lord for having given me an enlightened priest. You could have continued to leave me in uncertainties and hesitations, but your goodness remedied that. Oh my Jesus, it is impossible for me to come to count your favors. So not only that, she personally have this kind of inspiration from the Lord, also she a good confessor or good spiritual director that guide her to give her all the solutions, have her questions. word from Jesus. My daughter, your struggle will last until death. Your last breath will mark its end. You shall conquer by meekness. So you have to, you can't expect tomorrow finish and then I can live in peace. So she won't live in kind of human peace until the last breath of her life. So give her not expectation to change, but endurance, but keep peace. You know, if you see in 1 year's time, you can quit all these troublesome things, then you wait one year. But no, until the end of your life. February 13, 1938. I saw how unwillingly the Lord Jesus came to certain souls in Holy Communion. But this repeated many times in the past also, no? And he spoke this word to me. I enter into a certain heart as into a second passion. When someone receives Jesus with sin, and Jesus suffered a second time. As I was trying to make my holy hour, I saw the suffering Jesus who spoke these words to me. My daughter, do not pay much attention to the vessel of grace as to the grace itself which I give you, because you are not always pleased with the vessel, and then the graces too became deficient. I want to guard you from that, and I want you never to pay attention to the vessel in which I send you my grace. Let all the attention of your soul be concentrated on responding to my grace as faithfully as possible. So what does it mean, this vessel? V-E-S-S-E-L. What does it mean by this, the word? Vessel. My daughter, do not pay attention to the vessel of grace. What's the mean by this vessel? The container. So, do not pay attention to the vessel of grace as to the grace itself which I give you. You look for the grace itself, not the means. Not the means is not important. The grace itself. For example, the spiritual director can be the vessel of grace. But more important is Jesus, the grace.
The grace itself.
Yeah. Not just to have the spiritual director as the only person. This is the vessel, no? A chance.
Means.
Yeah. Oh my Jesus, if you yourself do not soothe the longing of my soul, then no one can either comfort or soothe it. Your every approach arouses new raptures of love in my soul, but also a new agony, because despite all your approaches to my soul, even the most exceptional, I am still loving you from a distance, and my heart dies in an ecstasy of love, because this is still not the complete and eternal union. Although you commune with me so very often unveiled, that means face as a face to face, nevertheless you thereby open in my soul and heart an abyss of love and desire of you, my God, and this bottomless abyss, this total desiring of God, cannot be completely filled on this earth. So although she experienced the presence of God so very, so much better, so close than us, but still she's still far, 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 far away. And then until the day comes into heaven. So we at times said oh, I feel I'm living on, I'm in heaven, no? Far, far, far. Far, far, far. The Lord has given me to know how much He desires the perfection of chosen souls. Now, the word of Jesus. Listen, because for you, you are the chosen souls. Aren't you? Can you say you are no, you are not? You are all chosen. Or do you just come in, but still you are chosen? You are chosen to listen these chosen words for you. Now listen, huh? Chosen souls are, in my hand, lights which I cast into the darkness of the world, and with which I illuminate it. So we are the vessel of light for others. We are chosen not for yourself, for the world. You come to Hong Kong, not for you, maybe of course for something, but it's the light of God through you shine in the family, in the groups. You are the vessel of light. Do you believe? You might say, I'm not worthy. Or you. As stars illumine the lights, so chosen souls illumine the earth. And the more perfect a soul is, the stronger and the more far-reaching is the light shed by it. The more suffering, more with Jesus, your light can shine more farther away. It can be hidden and unknown even to those closest to it, and yet its holiness is reflected in souls even to the most distant extremities of the world, even though nobody aware of these lights. So if you really have the light, really united with Jesus and kind of closeness with Jesus, you are the vessel. Don't think how much you can do. That's not your business. God will provide. Even though people doesn't care about who you are or despise you, this is not your concern. Just stay with and you'll be the light. Today, the Lord said to me, daughter, when you go to confession to this fountain of my mercy, the blood and water which came forth from my heart always flows down upon your soul and ennobles it. Every time you go to confession, immerse yourself entirely in my mercy with great trust, so that I may pour the bounty of my grace upon your soul. When you approach the confessional, notice that I myself am waiting there for you. I am only hidden by the priest, but I myself am in your soul. Here, the mystery of soul meets the God of mercy. Tell souls that from these fonts of mercy, souls draw graces solely with the vessel of trust. If their trust is great, there is no limit to my generosity. You have to believe God, Jesus is there. He's forgiving. You have to believe. The torrents of grace inundate humble souls. The proud remains always in poverty and misery, because my grace turns away from them to humble souls. God's grace is for all. If you reject, the grace is to go to others, for the humble souls. So try to be more humble and get all graces, because there's flooding coming in. Because most of the time people are not open to the grace, no? So all this grace, you are a collector. You collect everywhere. Collect the grace. If people doesn't want it, you take it. February 14, during adoration, I heard these words. Prayer for one of the sisters, one of the students who has great needs of my grace. And I recognize so and so. I pray hard, and God's mercy embrace that soul. So it's always praying for others. Okay.